Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I know I say that often, but I mean it every time. Never discount or disqualify the move of God. God is always in motion doing things. We know it when people get on board. It's real to us when people get on board, when we see activity. But the Lord, he always has a remnant. And there are always times that it seemed like nobody cares. When Elijah was on the scene, you know, he felt like he was the last man of God, basically. And that wasn't true. And, you know, he felt like, Lord, I'm the last one that love you, and they won't take my life away. But the Lord told him he had 7,000 that never bowed their knee to Baal. And there are people out there that won't bow their knee to Baal. And that doesn't mean much to us. People don't know what Baal worship really was. It was based on sex. It was for sex religion. That's all it was. Sex, magic, witchcraft is all it was. Idolatry. And if you look at its origins, that's what Balaam taught. And nevertheless, it was a problem. And it's something that's easy to get off into. If you have worldly passions, it's easy to get caught up in it. But there were 7,000 men, and 7,000 that never bowed their knee to Baal. Whether they were men or women, I don't know. Usually, the reference is men and their families. But I don't know that for certain. Here it is. He said that Jezebel was trying to kill the prophet. And verse 1 says, Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. You know, before that, they sent 50 people, 50 military men to arrest Elijah. And he's, in chapter 18, if I be a man of God, let the fire of God come down and burn thee and thy 50. And 51 people got burned alive. And then after he met with Ahab, Ahab go back and report to his king, Jezebel. And so Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah, verse 2, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as one of them by tomorrow about this time. Now, here's a witch. Witches are weak. They are weak. They don't compare to the people of God. They have chosen opposition against God. They have no backup system. No backup system that can destroy God. None. All they have is the power of man through deception. And you saw what happened to 102 people that tried to arrest Elijah. So when he went with and met with Ahab, the captain of the third 50 was wise. He begged for his life because he had good sense. But the other was all in. They were Baal worshippers. He was probably one that never bowed his knee to Baal. You don't go to a man of God demanding him something. in the name of a witch. And here it is, you know, this witch thinks that she can destroy this man of God. And they still think that if they ever stop breathing, those demons will drag they behind right on the hill. And there'll be no rescue for a witch. Now, God loved that soul just like ours, but here's the thing. They are weak. They have chosen opposition. It's not the case with those that love God. We have authority. We have the authority given by God to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the devil. So all the things that's going on, all the crazy things that politicians are doing, I hear so many Christians, they're frustrated about it. They don't like it because they know a lot of people are going to die. I don't like it either. But I know that's what wicked men will do. I'm just not afraid of it. But they're doing things that's going to cost a lot of problems. A lot of people that hadn't made up their mind are going to be destroyed. That's what bothered me the most. So my prayer is, Lord, help me do all this in your heart, because I don't know how to begin to get this problem straight other than preaching the word. I know how I can preach the word of God. Been doing that for years. Every day I do a broadcast in faith that it'll help people go forward. See, our anointings, God give us the anointing. He teach one man one thing to help get the body of Christ strong. And he have other people teaching other things to make the body of Christ strong. There is no competition. In my mind, that's not of God. Competition is not of God. We are to do this together. And if we ever act like Christ, we will. Because when Christ give another brother or sister something, then we can receive that, and it'll help assist us in what we're already doing. And it can inspire others to do what they're supposed to do. There's so much work to be done. And I know how the Lord uses me. I don't know anything else to do. So I submit the best thing for me to do out of everything that God ever taught me is yield myself and stay yielded, keep my ears open and keep my eyes open and be on guard and be ready to do whatever God wants to do whenever he wants to do it. Sometimes you can start a revival by reaching one person at the right time of their life. And I call that a visitation. And if we stop missing our visitations, we can get more done. And it's not going to come the way you think. It's not going to happen like you think. I've had more success in the latter years with faith when I stopped trying to organize how God was going to do something. Once I had it in my mind how he was going to do it, that's what I was looking for. But your faith has to be in him. Your faith has to be in his word. It doesn't matter what mechanism he used to get the job done. What matters is, are you watching him? If you watch him, you'll be on board with what he's doing, and it's going to work fine. It always did. Out of all the times I had to pay the radio broadcast, it never worked out like I thought. I stopped worrying. I stopped considering it. I started focusing on what I should be doing at the moment. And it all worked out. That was what I used to believe God for. The biggest thing on my list was paying that radio bill every month. And I had to pay child support. I had all of my bills. I had everything to pay, and I had to manage my time and how I spend the money that God blessed me to make. I had to deal with everything that anybody else would have to deal with. But when I stopped pressuring myself on how God was going to do it, I was able to rest in him, and then he worked it out however he wanted to, and it always got paid. And that's how life is. When I ask for healing or anything, once I ask and believing, it's out of my hands. How he does it, you know, I don't watch the mechanism of how he does it. I watch him. And that's where our strength is, in him. It's not in how he's going to do it. People, you know, in the old times, you know, he used a somebody that was well known to come to town, put up a tent, and they do healing revivals. Well, people have been, they watch that on TV now. It's time for the body of Christ to be doing that as individuals. You don't need a man in a tent to come and do something that you're already supposed to be doing. See, God graduates. When people get, when he do things in life, he does it so we can catch on and get on board with it. And he requires us to get on board with what's going on. So the things of God, the word stays the same, but the methods of how he organized things, it changes because people have seen enough and they have more to go on. Now, if when people don't follow through, that's not God's fault. It's time now for, you know, people are in a way they're the same and in a way they're not. They've had more light exposed to them, and God required them to use the light that they had. God had greater mercy on us when we didn't have the knowledge and the light and in the darkness. It was harder to come out of darkness because there was no light. So God gave us an introduction. I was listening to William Brennan just last weekend, and people kept putting him on a pedestal. He said, the Lord's going to take me because people are looking to me and not Jesus. And it happened. Now this man, you know, God don't let nothing sneak up on you. I heard, I pay attention to people that operate according to the wisdom of God, and they're used mightily. Lester Summerall had to leave the Philistines. They were beginning to work, trying to worship him, looking to him, and he had to leave. You know, we can't just look at a man no more. You got to look at Jesus. The king is about to return. You got to be found looking to him, not people, not methods, not mechanisms, not how he, you know, not methodologies. You got to look at Jesus, and he'll cause you to do a revival. There is a revival going on in current time right now, and the Lord is doing it different. If you're looking for it to be like the way it was, you're not going to ever see it. And the Lord told, I saw this coming a long time ago. He said he's going to use people. People don't know him. They're not well known. And he's going to do great revivals with people. And Perry Stone said the same thing. He said there's he saw a revival in Tennessee and West Virginia. People are going to leave the cities and come to the rural areas. And there's going to be a mighty outpouring there, with people that are no-name people. Another one, he had everybody to meet in a park, and he was not well known, and thousands and thousands of people showed up, and ministers preached, no-name people. They had a revival. God can do anything. You have to watch him or you'll miss it. Never feel bad about what other people don't do. If you're drawing near to the Lord, the Lord will use you like a tool in his hand. You know, there are so many ways God can do a thing. And in Elijah's day, there were 7,000 that never bowed their knee to Baal. They never got involved with the sex magic, idolatry. They never became witches. They didn't get in rebellion against God. But they prayed and they sought the Lord, and they stuck with the teachings of Moses and the prophets. See, everybody, got Satan can't get everybody. There are those of us who just love God, and that's the way it is, and that's the way it's going to be. And God has jewels of people that will love him. And I'm not saying that those that have been faithful before that did do great revivals, God's going to use them too. He just, the methodologies, the methods of God, they always change. If you study the Word of God from Genesis all the way to Revelation, every time people got used to something, God changed it up. You got to look at him. Nothing ever remained like it was. They wanted a king. He did great things with a king. Kings did stupid things. God got them out of trouble. God, kings led them into captivity. And then they know that, hey, we can't look at man anymore. See, in the old time revivals, they didn't know and process like we would now, because they were exposed to the word in a limited way. A lot of things God gave them an excusing on it. But now, more light has been going forth. TBN has been playing all around the clock for years. People that wouldn't set foot in a Pentecostal church, they get to see Pentecostal preachers on TV. They get to see Pentecostal preachers on YouTube. They get to see the wonderful move of God in Baptist and Methodist churches. See, Pentecostals think that they had it all together and the Methodists and Baptists wasn't doing anything. But there are some awesome Baptists and other denominational preachers out there that teach the Word of God. They may disagree on a few things, but they can still get the Word of God preached, and they do a good job of it. And I thought some of them were secret tongue talkers because their preaching was so accurate. But they had the Holy Spirit. I learned that from Pat. It's good to have a pastor that loves God. I was puzzled. How could these preachers preach like this? And they don't, you know, they teach against speaking in tongues. And pastor, I was doing a radio broadcast with Pastor McCain. He said he taught about the Spirit of God within and the Spirit of God upon. See, this you can see. And see, if you go back to the beginning, God said, told Adam to subdue. The fourth commandment was to subdue the earth and have dominion over. Now, God, these are the very same things God taught me. Now, the same thing, five things he told Adam, that's how he built everything. So he knew that people were going to make a mess. He knew that the Jews was going to try to get the apostles to go off track. And once they died out, they was going to start doctrines. And so God, he thought ahead of all of them, the good and the bad. And he gave us the Holy Spirit within as well as upon. So if people don't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit upon them to do the work mightily, they have the Holy Spirit within them and they can still teach. And it solved my doubts. You know, you have to pay attention. God has people around you that can answer the questions you have. Ask God and he'll activate them, and he'll get what you need to you. And I thank God it happens often at the church. I get blessed all the time because my eyes are open and my ears are open to the voice of the Lord. And I thank every man and woman that God uses to help me understand more. And I, you know, Mary said that nothing's lost in the kingdom of God. And I said, that's true. Anytime I lose something, I said, Lord, where is it? It's still in the kingdom of God and it still belongs to me. I just don't know where to find it. And I always find it. You know, you can learn things from people if you pay attention. Brother Horton pointed out, we're in the Father's house, not the hog pen. If it's not in the house, you don't want it. If it's not in the house, you don't need it. And one day I was preaching and the Lord brought it back another way. He said, the things of darkness, there's no reason for it. And just let that soak in a moment. If it's darkness, there's no reason for it. There's no reason to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God gave you every tree in the garden to eat off of, and the tree of life. There's no reason to break God's commandment. It never makes sense to do witchcraft. It never makes sense to go beyond the boundaries that God has set. And the same boundaries that God set for you, he has boundaries of his own that he don't cross. He don't sin either. See, people got it all balled up. God keeps commandments just like we do. And we have to learn to acknowledge life and embrace life and operate in the confines of love. Love has boundaries. In fact, to eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you have to have a leaven of hatred in your heart. Otherwise, the love of God, you can't do it. If you got the love of God in you, you cannot sin. You can't fill your heart with the love of God, fill your heart with His Word, have good thoughts and intentions towards man and God, and then go rob a bank. It don't happen that way. You have to have a leaven of hatred in order to cross the line and sin. Now, in all actuality, Satan has a hard time getting people interested in sin. And it's not easy for him. He broadcasts his venom day and night. He tried to give people suggestions, evil thoughts, other people you look up to, give them evil thoughts, get them off track. He's trying to do this with everybody, so you have to look to Jesus. Somebody might have a weak moment or a bad day, but look to Jesus anyway. And if you see something going south, you don't even have to tell them. You can tell Satan you can't interrupt them in Jesus' name. There's no substitute for learning warfare, and there's no substitute for looking to Jesus. But you can be praying that people's faith fail life, that people's faith fail not. I listened to Pastor does a broadcast on Wednesday, and he was talking about the different types of prayer. And in the discourse, he said, pray that my faith fail not. Pray that other people's, pray that your children's faith fail not. See, when you have a good support system and the good relationships with people, you have to protect them. You have to protect them. If you have a good church home, don't just go there and get fed. You got to protect that. It's just as much your responsibility to protect that ministry as the pastor and whoever God put over it. You got to protect it. You got to protect your family. You got to protect your children, your spouse, your friends. You know, my ears are open. If the Lord show me, give me a dream about somebody or give me wisdom, then I start praying for the people. I intercede until I know it's all good. He gave us something to work with, and we have to work it. We just have to do it. We have to protect our family. Our church family is our family. That's our main family. And our relatives is our family too. But until people believe on Jesus, they are vulnerable. And we have to do all we can and pray for people and live the life. When nothing else will work, living the life will help people get on board with God. But God always has a remnant. And I wanted to point that out in 1 Kings. I'm going to move on. And so Jeremiah fled. He went, verse 4 says, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, and did eat and drink. And he went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights, unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Now this is what I wanted to get to, verse 10. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I am left. And they seek my life to take it away. And then he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind rent the mountains, and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, and after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering end of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What doest thou here, Elijah? Why are you here?" He said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." And the Lord said to him, "Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Imamola." Hope I got that right. "Abel Mehola shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy room. And it shall come to pass that him that escapes the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escapes the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which thou hast, in every mouth which has not kissed him." So this is the thing. When it looked the darkest, you got to understand, there are those that won't quit. They are still revival worthy. They still have revival knowledge. They're still mightily used of God, and God has a plan. And you got to, the only way to see it is to look to him. Take everything, the things that I say, take it to prayer. Because I boldly say that there's a thriving revival right now in operation. Get on board. And the only way to do that is to go in prayer and seek the Lord. You got to see him. And God will give you his plan that's already in motion. And he's activated people that's already doing his will. And they won't quit. So, and the only way I know to get in on it is to be obedient. Be in agreement with what he's doing. You got to release your will into his will. That's why I say I will do all this in his heart, because I know for a fact I don't know what to do until he reveals something to me. Once he reveals it to me, then I can start. I can get on board. I can do something. But not until he reveals something. Now, this broadcast I do, he prepared me 3 years before I, excuse me. He prepared me for this for a long time ago. He began giving me revelation that I would need in the early 90s. And he never stopped. The only dry period I had was in 98. I had become so frustrated with how people were doing things that I stopped studying. And I went to church, and Elder May was the pastor in those days. And he was always talking about studying the Word. And for about a month, he taught on studying the Word. I said, I want him to preach something else. I'm tired of hearing him say study. I'm just going to study the Word. So I started back studying. And when I started studying like I was supposed to, then his message changed again. In other words, I said, "I hear you, Lord. I'll never do that again. I'll never go through or just give up like that." I didn't give up on God, but I was learning things and I couldn't voice it. I couldn't give it to no. Nobody wanted it. And I got frustrated like Elijah did. I thought nobody wanted to hear God no more. Like, you know, the revelation that I saw people needed, and I didn't have a way to deliver it. And it was frustrating for me. But the Lord never stopped talking. And he was preparing me, and he was showing me what exists that people didn't seem to see. I could see it, but I couldn't say nothing. And it was frustrating. So I started watching TV. I didn't give up on God. I just didn't study like I used to. And I went through a dry gap. And then when I started studying the Word like I was supposed to, one day I put in a Charles Capps tape and the Lord started talking. The time I put the tape in to listen to Charles Capps teaching, the Lord started talking. And I could hear both of them. Imagine that. I could hear Charles Capps and all that he was saying, and I could hear what the Lord was telling me. And my brain could process it. I don't know how that happened. But it happened. You know, sometimes the Lord will do things to give you, to get your attention. So when I started feeding my spirit like I was supposed to, then the Lord could talk again. Nevertheless, God has a plan. And I laugh because I see the plan. The way he gave me this assignment, you know, I got protocols, and he don't bother to give you protocols and assignment and specifics if he's not using it. I don't know God that way. When God do something, he uses it. Now, he told me to do as many broadcasts as I can. He said, I need you to do as many as you can. And I said, well, how am I going to let people know about it? He said, well, I advertised the website on the radio, but he said, I'm going to send people to you. He's going to cause people to hit the link and go to this website. So if that's you, you're just one of the people that God is using. This is a tool. Use it. And everything that you learn, put it in practice. But the main thing, watch him. Look to Jesus.